Good evening, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this December 4th, Session 5 here. Your host and program director, James J. Maloff, along with my partner in art, Seth Habhager. Good morning, Seth. Good afternoon, Seth. Good evening, Seth.
When you do as many shows as you do, man, it gets confusing.
Time is really, a flat circle.
Really, really quick. So I don't blame you one bit for that. Hi, everyone. And I'm glad you're keeping track of the session, how many shows we do, because I'm already lost. I'm like, how many have we done? Yeah. I don't even remember anymore. So, yeah.
Really, really appreciate everybody joining us on this Sunday night. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. And if you're listening to us on the podcast, whatever time of day or day of the week you're listening to us, we appreciate that very, very much.
You better believe it.
Spread the word about the show. We encourage you to do that. As we go along here, we're going to wrap up today with our first WFHR play.
Yes. Oh, it's so exciting.
It's very cool.
I can't wait. I just listened to part of it again. Oh, it's so good. Big shout out to Melissa Kay,
yes,
who is the one who did the production on this. She recorded everything. And it's funny. It was a lot of fun. Please stay tuned because you're going to love it. I can guarantee you're going to love it.
We'll be talking more about that in a little bit. We've also got our new segment, Take My Money, Please.
It's like, shut up and take my money.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Yes. Looking forward to diving into that. But wanted to start off going a little local here and talking about some of the local art that we have in our area, and we'll start with music.
All right.
We've got some great musicians coming out. Do want to send a shout out to FRM, our friends at Friends of Rapids Music, Connie and the gang over there, who you can follow on Facebook and social media, and another great way to keep up on all this information, local bands in town. And of course, we had some great stuff going on this weekend. On Monday, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, they'll have a night open jam at Holly Rocks.
Cool.
In Rapids. Be sure to check that out. Starts at 7. I know a lot of friends of mine end up loving that. They go to that. They take it in. They enjoy it. And I know that there are so many other people out there that enjoy doing that too. It's also, similar to what we talk about with community theater, Seth. It's a great opportunity for people to get themselves out of their comfort zone, kind of, and get out there and try some different things.
Exactly. And, this is a great opportunity to let people know we actually have things like that in this area. We do have open mic kind of things. We do have that sort of thing. As even a small, relatively a small area as Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding communities here, we do have a lot of great venues to do lots of music. And it's not just for people who've been around. Some of the people that we hope to have on the show, right?
Right, right.
But also, if it's something you wanted to try, there's your opportunity. Give it a try. See what happens.
You just never know. We had, Hoozle's Rise to Music, and a couple of the people that we had on from that were certainly people, they picked up this instrument when they were young or something.
Yeah.
But then we had a couple people who never thought about doing this live.
No.
They played for their friends or played at a campfire or something, but never thought about doing it live. A lot of it started with an open mic night, with just giving it a shot and saying, hey, you know what, I'm all right at this.
Just screwing up your courage and getting out there and doing it. And you can talk to all these people. I remember talking to several of the Hoozles people, and they were like, they were just nervous. They were very scared to just step out on stage, but their desire to perform just overwhelmed their fear. And then they got out there, and they're like, oh, wow, hey, this isn't so bad. So if you're one of those people, come on, give it a try. We'd love to. We want more music in the area. There's never enough.
I'm glad you brought up a word there, and that you brought all that up. But a certain word you mentioned there, fear. That's the thing that holds most, if not everybody, back. And we'll share something with you. And you guys have got to keep this between all of us. Okay,
just us. Yeah,
just between us. Everybody's scared. Everybody, every actor you've ever seen, every musician you've ever seen, every artist you've ever seen has a little bit of fear in them.
Yes.
It's a good thing. It means you care. It means you're engaged. The day you stop being afraid, the day you stop being nervous, it's probably the day you want to do something else. It's not a bad thing. So that fear that you're feeling about just even thinking about this in your head, you haven't even said anything out loud.
Yep.
You're not alone in that. Every one of these artists felt it many, many times, if not still. And it's okay. That's not a bad thing.
I'm sure if you asked most of them, you could ask some of the more popular, more well-known acts in this area, and they'll probably say the same thing. before I get on stage, boy, I'm really nervous. But as soon as you get out there, you feel not only the energy of your nervous energy and your fear, you can use that.
Yeah.
Just like you can use the crowd's energy that's coming back at you. You can use that to your advantage. And it's not something you can explain to someone.
No.
You have to feel it yourself. Mm-hmm. And until you do, you can't put it into words. You really can't. Yeah. But once you get out there and do it, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Monday, December 5th, 7 o'clock, Monday night open jam at Holly Rocks. Go ahead and check that out. Great place, by the way. Love Holly Rocks.
Love, great venue, yes.
Yeah. Tuesday, December 6th at 6 p.m. will be the solo hour with Jeff Sox, followed by open mic at Country Pines in Nacoosa. Another great atmosphere, another great place.
Yeah, no kidding.
And also on Tuesday at 7:30, open mic with Mandy Lynn and friends at Headquarters in Rapids.
Nice.
We, of course, want to use this opportunity, too, that, hey, if you are a band out there and you'd like to be on the show or you'd like us to promote where you're going to be performing, well, let us know. We'll do it, and we'd be doing it already.
We would love to do that. That's kind of one of the reasons we're doing this show.
Yep.
We want to support our local artists, especially musicians. I mean, come on, this is radio. The perfect venue for you guys to get your name out there. You know, we hit a very large area with WFHR, and we want to promote you. We want to get you out there.
I'm going to be real blunt for a second.
All right.
I don't need to talk acting. I get many, many opportunities to do that in my life. I'm a teacher. Seth and I don't have to force this.
No.
We talk plenty off the air. We have many opportunities to hang out and talk and all that. So really the purpose of this show, or the porpoise of this show, is
oh, that's staying in.
It's gotta is to feature local artists, to get them on these airwaves with us. And we want to do that with you guys. This is a collaboration, not a dictatorship.
No.
So we want as many artists as we can, and we really believe that over the years of doing the show, we'll be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Reach out to either of us, reach out to our station. Mm-hmm. You can email me, james@wfhr.com, or seth@wfhr.com. You can call our front desk at 424-1300.
Yep.
And then Pam will connect you to us.
Yep.
Love to have you on the air with us.
Yes.
You know, whoever you are, artist, painter, who cares, you know, get on the air with us. And certainly, if you are a establishment, if you're a bar, if you're a place that hosts music, let us know. We'll put it on the air.
Oh, it is so scary how our brains think the same at the same
time. It is
scary. Because I was just thinking that same thing. That's why we work so well together, because we share a brain, everybody.
Yes, we really do. That.
Yes. We share a brain.
And again, encourage you to follow our friends at FRM. Mm-hmm. Follow them online. They're on Facebook, Instagram. It's a great follow. And a big shout out and thank you to Connie and the gang over there.
Absolutely.
Coming up is going to be Miracle on 34th Street, the holiday production for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. That'll be December 9th, 10th, 15th, and 16th. Also the 17th. And on the 17th, they will have a matinee at 2 o'clock along with their regular 7 o'clock start times, which all those other dates, 7 o'clock, that is the start time.
Yes.
We just had the cast in for Morning Magazine, had Linda and Andy, and along with Susan, the director.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow on Monday's show, on the morning show, we'll be talking about this with Beth, who is also in the cast.
Yep.
Beth has been really giving with her, sharing us with us behind the scenes and how it's going with the making of kind of stuff.
Yeah, love it, yeah.
They are... Man, it's a great show. It's a very well-written script. You put these people on stage together, I mean, you'd have to be trying for it to be bad. Yes. You would have to
actively be working on
it. Yes, yes. It can't. I mean, I put my name on it. It is going to be a good show. It is going to be a really good production.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And so one of the things that we do, because James just mentioned that the show was on Morning Magazine on Friday. But of course, if you missed the show, head on over to civicmedia.us. Go to the shows tab there. Podcast. This is going to be up.
Yes.
When you hear this show now, it'll be up and running. Go right over there. Listen to that interview. Some great insights, of course. Anytime you get to talk to a director of a show, they will give you what their vision is. They want you to know where they're coming from for that. Susan, of course, is a great communicator. She does a great job. But you also get to hear from Linda Garski, no introduction necessary,
right,
really, especially in the theater in central Wisconsin. Everyone knows who Linda is. But then we also have a newcomer, Andy Kleckner, who's playing Fred, one of the main characters, but who's never really acted before. I love it. Oh, I love when we get people, new people, new blood. And you mentioned I was listening in a little bit while you were doing that. And your advice to Andy, now this is his first show, run!
Yeah.
Because you're going to be hooked, man.
Yep,
you are going to be hooked now.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's nice to be able to encourage people to take in a show where it doesn't matter who's listening, you're welcome. You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know, it's such a family show. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to go solo or you want to bring your significant other or any of these things, like... I was telling the cast, I was telling Susan, one of the things that I think is so unique about that script and that play, that movie, is if I sat down and like with some of the greatest writers in the world, like, okay, let's create a script that builds hope in people, that creates, you know, magic of faith and all these things. I don't know how in the world you'd even begin to do that. But every time I've seen that movie, every time I've read that script or anything like that, I'll be darned if it doesn't take me back to being a kid and wondering, is he real? Isn't he real? Isn't, you know, and having the further we get away from childhood, the more we forget what it's like to be a kid.
It's true.
And a show like this kind of brings you back to that moment a little bit while still having an adult brain. There's so many fun things about it.
Yes, and you are so right about the kids thing. You know, we kind of we're in an age now where it seems almost that nostalgia is all we're getting. You know, it's like all nostalgia for everything, blah blah blah. I mean, it's getting kind of ridiculous. I'll be honest, because I heard that now that 90s show.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, really, like, guys?
We've ran out of ideas. We've officially ran out of ideas. Yes, they're all done.
Now?
Yes,
it's a little much, but. There's something to it, too. I think nostalgia can be a good thing. You said, the further you get away from childhood, there are certain things that are going to remind you of the way you felt when you were that age. And I think you were talking, you know, A Miracle on 34th, you didn't have a lot of Christmas movies that you had as a kid that were, you know, that kind of thing. But this was one of them. And that is so cool to hear the story of you know, you watching it with your family and the thing, you know, the fact that there's a courtroom scene in it, you know, which is cool too. I mean, how many Christmas movies have a courtroom scene in it?
I think that's just it. That's one of the things that really pulls you into this show.
Yeah.
Is that it's got this wonderful mix of reality and fantasy.
Yes. You know, the mysticism of all of it. Yes.
Which I mean, it's so difficult to really pull off.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
I don't even know, again, how you would go about doing that necessarily, other than just, you know, trying,
exactly.
It's
if nothing else, it's a show that makes you believe that, you know what, maybe there is a Santa Claus, maybe not the way we think, but maybe there is a Santa Claus in a certain way.
I do want to tease just a couple other things from WRCT as well. They have their upcoming studio theater, their Edgy Directors Showcase, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh,
man, what a thing to tackle.
Wow.
It is going to be directed by Mystique McAmer, who is a great director, great actor, really knows her stuff. I would love to be directed by Mystique. I think she's fantastic. I know that I believe her daughter is in this, I believe, a friend.
She did it for a specific
person. I couldn't find the cast list, but I do know that Moselle Stoiber is in it as well.
Oh, wow.
And how excited she is for it. I got an adjustment the other day, and Moselle was telling me about this and how much they've been working on this and how it's a drama. Like, it is a full-fledged drama. It pulls a lot out of you. But she was just so excited to be a part of this and doing it. And I know how much Mystique is incurred and loving it. I know how famous the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me that a lot of people apparently don't know the movie inside the movie. The drama that existed between two of the greatest actors of all time and how it played out during the filming of it and everything.
Yep.
So that got me thinking, when we get a little closer to this, Seth, we're going to do a director's cut where we're going to dissect that. We're going to talk about what I think would be very cool, like, because you can see the movie anytime you want. And it holds up. It still holds
up.
I watched it last year.
Yeah.
Still holds up, like every bit of it.
Yep.
But the behind the scenes stuff, I'd like to get into that a little bit. Kind of our myth takes, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll probably be one of our episodes coming up here and everything.
That's right. And hopefully we can get Mystique here on the show. Of course, we're going to work on talking about that as we we're coming closer to it as well.
I feel confident we'll be able to get them on.
Yes,
I think we should. But Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, the studio theater production, will be going on January 27th and 28th. Mm. So we got some time in between then, but did want to put that in people's brains,
Absolutely.
Drop that seed lead in there for you. And of course, Silver Foxes have a great show coming up in February. Silver Foxes Old Time Classic Radio Theater. That should be interesting. That should be a lot of fun.
We love radio theater around here for obvious reasons.
Big fans. And they are doing their next show after Miracle is A Streetcar Named Desire. Auditions for that will be March 3rd. That's when the show will be going on.
Yep.
Upcoming auditions will be, as my computer slowly works. So the auditions will be December 20th and December 21st.
Okay. It's coming up real soon, everybody, if you're interested.
Those will be over at the Centralia Center at WRCT. And always, of course, want to mention all the other local theaters and different art around here in this area.
Yep.
We, of course, have our friends at Savor the Arts that have great productions going on. Be sure to check those out. And so many other great things in this area.
Absolutely. Keep it tuned here. We are going to continue to let you know all the stuff we can about what's going on throughout Central Wisconsin. We're going to take a break right now, everybody. When we come back, though, we're going to do one of our new segments, Shut Up and Take My Money, which I have to say like that every time now. So you're going to get real tired of it real quick, everybody. We'll be right back here on Director's Cut.
Welcome back to Director's Cut, everybody. Hope you're having a great one, a great Sunday night out there. Thank you so much for joining Seth and I. We are going to do a new segment now.
Yes, a segment that's called Shut Up and Take My Money. Basically stuff that not only that James and I are looking forward to, but stuff that has a buzz that's this next year. I mean, we can go forward. It doesn't matter how far in the future it is. I'm sure we'll touch on it again. But just something that we find that we're really looking forward to or that a lot of people are looking forward to. So I'm going to throw it over to James to give us our first one.
Yeah, and I actually am going to warn the audience that I am doing this as part because I'm looking for very, very much looking forward to this movie or miniseries as much as I also want to have a recommendation. I don't get to do very often.
That's right.
So there's a little bit of a segue into this one.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about the movie The Devil in the White City. It's an adaptation of author Eric Larson's best-selling historical nonfiction novel of the same name. The film has been in the works for a while, a considerable amount of time, with an on-screen adaptation discussed back in 2010.
Wow.
And then the initial plan was to make it a movie based on the book. That is no longer happening. Instead, Hulu is releasing a limited series. This is interesting. So you are going to have there's some reports saying that Keanu Reeves is in it and isn't in it. He's got one foot in, one foot out. It is a scheduling thing.
Right.
If he can be in it, he will be. But we already know that Leonardo DiCaprio is going to be playing H.H. Holmes. Arguably America's first serial killer.
Right.
If you know anything about Leonardo DiCaprio, you know he puts everything he's got into these roles.
This is kind of a different role for him because he's playing, you know, I'm trying to think of, he's played complex characters, to be sure. He played Howard Hughes, you know, and a couple of other characters, but this is an outright villain that he is playing, out and out a murderer. And I am fascinated to see how how he does it. Like you said, he always gives 100%, and there's no question about it. He puts everything into the role. I'm curious to see how it comes out, and that's going to be really interesting.
Martin Scorsese has been tagged as a producer, possibly directing this.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And the Leo Marti thing keep going on there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I mean, that stuff, you've got some, some of the best in the business that are attached to this already. And those are just the names we know. There's already some other casting going on. I will let the audience know, don't be looking for it anytime necessarily soon. They're hoping by the end of 2023, but this is still in the works. So there's still some moving parts here that got to get figured out. But that's part of what makes me want to shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
Because I just want it so bad. And in part, and this is where the recommendation part comes in, is because of the book. And I don't get a chance to read very often. And I'll be honest, you know, and I think I've talked about it on the air before. Reading is hard for me. Moving around as much as we did, when I would jump into one classroom, they were reading this. In another classroom, they were way ahead. And I, you know, all these things. And just never been great at it. So if I'm going to read something, it's really got to grab me. Not just, loosely. I've got to be dragged into it and right. and stuck there and everything.
I know several people are like that with books. Yes.
I love history. I love American history, mm-hmm. and I'm a homer. So I love Midwestern history, specifically if it involves Illinois or Wisconsin.
Or Chicago, for instance.
Yeah, yeah. And so for those that don't know, my recommendation is the book, The Devil in the White City, Murder, Magic, and Madness. It is a New York Times bestseller. It came out back in, I want to say, 2010, maybe 2009, maybe a little bit earlier than that. Mm-hmm. The true tale of the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago, and it's essentially two stories intertwined.
Right.
It tells you about this and what it was like at that time. Mm-hmm. None of us were alive, and none of us can relate to what it was like then. Back then, in America, a young country, just trying to imagine Disney World first opening up. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to get people to come to Disney World. Now, right. it looks enticing. It looks exciting. So you're certainly going to get people to want to come.
Yep.
But that's not what they're worried about. They're worried about getting the people that aren't even looking. How do we get the fringe people? And so you'll have a fair. I mean, we'll have a World's Fair. You had one in Paris. Why not have something here in the States like that?
Yeah.
And you can't just have a fair. You've got to have something to bring to it. Now, the World's Fair before this one is when they introduced lights. And having
electrical
lights all over the stuff and everything. So with this one, they want to have a big one. How are we going to do this? Well, the Ferris wheel. We'll bring the Ferris wheel. We'll introduce the Ferris wheel. So the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago was where the world was first introduced through the Ferris wheel, which was huge at the time and everything. Also along with this, you have at this time in America's history, Chicago is New York. Chicago is the biggest city in the country because of the trains situation.
It was a hub, a transportation hub. Yep.
It's where,
and the lake there, as well.
And really, in America's early beginnings, the Midwest was the hub. We were the East Coast, what is now what that was what we were then because of fur trading and all these things.
Yep, exactly.
So you have all these things going on, all these different things, and then you bring in the World's Fair. And you're asking the world to come here.
Yep.
Now, in 2022, if you tried to pull this off, it'd be a logistical nightmare. It'd be a security nightmare.
Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh.
Let alone in 1893, where they couldn't keep track of anything, let alone people.
Plus, I'm just travel. There were no planes. There were trains. And that's, I'm guessing, how the majority of people got there. But, I mean, there were no good roads for cars. I mean, at this point, there were just cars. They had just come into being, you know. Some rich people had cars, but there was nowhere to drive them, basically. You had one option, train, to get there, and I'm guessing they were packed. I can't imagine traveling. It would have been crazy.
You have all these moving pieces and all these things going on, and then you throw into the mix, moving into Illinois, coming from Ohio, I believe, and moving into Illinois at that time, H.H. Holmes, who would go on to be one of the most cunning and dangerous serial killers in our in history, just in American history, period.
World history,
This is the guy where you hear a lot of these stories about. He bought a building and turned it into a hotel, or was a hotel or turned it into a hotel.
Yep.
Along with that, he would have multiple contractors work on this building and creating secret doors.
Yes.
He had a basement that had acid, like all these different things. I don't want to give away too much of the book, but it's
like real super villain kind of stuff.
Oh, I mean, like Lex Luthor to a whole, like Lex Luthor would be like, whoa, like you all right, you go ahead and be the bad guy. I'm not doing this.
Whoa,
anymore.
I'm not going that far.
Just a dark, evil human being.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're reading this book, you're getting the tale of American history and the World's Fair and how cool this was to welcome the world to our shores and bring people in, how much it did for America. It put America on the map. Like, it really did. The World's Fair was just more gigantic than the Super Bowl times 10. It's really hard to express how big it was at the time. All this you get the story of, along with the story of H.H. Holmes and his devastating and dark tale.
Diabolical.
It's
absolutely
so bad. So to see this in print was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see what this might look like on a smaller big screen. Especially if you've got people who are so darn good at telling real tales. Martin Scorsese has proved more than enough times that he can tell an American tale.
He can tell multiple American tales.
Yes.
If he ends up being one of the directors, because like you said, it's a limited series. I'm guessing they'll probably have more than one director, or maybe not. I mean, who knows at this point? It's still, like you said, it's still early. especially after coming out of development hell for a while there. Yes. You know, that's it. Since like 2010, because I know the book's been out for a long time.
Yeah.
And of course, and you have to get the rights, and then you have to figure out these things. But so it's a long time coming. If you get someone as good as Martin Scorsese to you'd be like the perfect first episode director. Set the tone kind of thing. And then the other directors can kind of follow, because who wouldn't want to take his lead, right?
Right. Yeah.
If you're a director, chances are, if you're a younger director, he's one of the reasons you're directing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In all likelihood, because of his body of work.
I the more he works, the more I enjoy Leonardo DiCaprio's career. I was a fan from What's Eating Gilbert Grape, mm-hmm. and I've watched everything he's done. And this man has worked so hard at the craft and to be taken seriously.
Oh, gosh.
And it's so cool to finally see that he's actually gotten to that point. He's had a great life. He's had a great career. I'm not saying this like world's smallest violin playing for Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's got plenty of money. Yeah.
But he had to work pretty hard to get this reputation of one of our better actors. He mm-hmm. was kind of looked at as just a pretty boy forever, even though he proved very early on, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, how dang talented he is.
He had the chops. He did.
It's going to be cool to see hit the older Leo. He's starting to branch out and do different stuff like this. I'm very curious to see that appetite, that hunger going into these roles, going into characters like this. If you haven't seen The Revenant, it's just one of the greater acting performances I've seen, both him and Tom Hardy. Mm-hmm. Incredible performances in that. And he's bringing that energy to this. It's going to be good.
Well, and he's
take my money.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it now.
Take it now.
Yeah, you need money. Help money producing it.
You have
producing
a payment
it?
Plan?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
I'll play in installments if you want. You need help? Get it with it. No, I was gonna real quick about DiCaprio. I was gonna say that he's at the point now where he can choose exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to work. You know, he's got plenty of money. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to worry about that. So when he picks a project to work on, you know there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to bring it all. He's going to bring the A game because it's obvious that he wants to do this. And, you know, yes, there's a certain reputation involved. You know, when you get to his level, you got to maintain a certain level, you know, if you want to continue on that. Now, if he said he didn't want to do that, he could just say, I'm done. You know, I don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit back and do his, you know, philanthropic stuff or whatever he wants to do. Yeah. But if he's getting to the – if he finds a project he wants to do – and you know he's bringing it. If nothing else, the story is awesome. Just for that, you do have to sit up and take notice.
Right.
You really do, because of the way his career has gone and where he's gone before. So, yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in with you on this one. If nothing else, you've convinced me that they need to take my money. Because I'm ready
Hulu,
to do this
Mr. Scorsese, DiCaprio, whoever we need to send it to, just let me know and I'll make out the check
to
you guys.
Right now.
do want to encourage you to purchase or read or rent from our local library at Macmillan or any of the great libraries around here. Devil in the White City by Eric Larson. I was off, Seth. It came out in February of 2004.
2004. Oh, wow.
It's been longer than that. I didn't realize that. But yeah, if you have not read this book already and you're a fan, I don't care, paperback, hardcover, audiobook, take it in. I really recommend it. It's a great book.
Well, as is known pretty well now, I think most people know I'm a Marvel-aholic, a maniac.
Yes, yes.
The MCU, they can do anything, and I watch it.
You're mad for Marvel.
I'm mad for Marvel. Marvelites, yes. Excelsior, as Stanley would say.
Yeah, it's nice.
So I kind of wanted to go over what's coming up in the MCU, because, of course, there's tons of things going on. There's always something happening. And let's start off with the just recently released the holiday special, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Did you get a chance to check that out yet?
I did. Oh. I did get a chance to watch it. It was, I got to say, first of all, Kevin Bacon, great sport.
Oh, man.
What a great sport he is to do that.
And yeah.
Is it fair? How good does he look?
That's not fair.
That is not fair.
How old is he?
He looks so good.
The only problem I have with Kevin Bacon is stop it. It's not fair. He's older than both of us and looks great.
He looks good.
No, he looks good. Just as a little side note, too, a shout out to his wife, Kira, too, who really was on the other, you know, not to spoil anything, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's, I think, okay. Yes, that was it. She doesn't appear, but you hear her voice. Let's just put it that way. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. You know, basically the premise is the rest of the Guardians are looking for something to give Peter for Christmas.
Yeah.
Kraglin tells a story about how Yondu ruined Christmas and all that stuff. And so they're sad. Oh, what do we, Christmas thing. So let's see. It's Drax and Mantis mm-hmm. decide to head to Earth to get him something that they think he would appreciate.
Yeah.
There's that. There's a fun story around that. There's actually a big reveal that was kind of interesting about the relationship. So one of the couple of the Guardians there.
Two reveals, really.
You're right. A couple of reveals there. I like the fact that they highlighted Mantis a little more.
Yeah.
It was good to see her in a bigger role and to see the actress giving her stretching a little bit, having fun with it, and making fun of Drax, which is always fun because he's easy to make fun of. The other things I wanted to talk about... James Gunn, the music, amazing. He found these Christmas songs that I've never heard before. I was blown away. The old 97s actually appear in it.
Yeah.
Rhett Miller. A lot of people know who Rhett Miller is. Yeah. He's been around for a while, and that's his band. They do this hilarious Christmas song. How do aliens view Christmas? It's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
I did not expect to see them anytime soon. That made my day. That's right away in the beginning. I'm glad you brought up Mantis. Pom Klemtoff,
or whatever. I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name.
Such a wonderful actress.
Yes.
And it's cool to get to see a little bit more of her.
Yeah.
I love Dave Bautista. I think he's just an incredible joy to watch and enjoy.
He's got that character down.
He really does. I think it should be noted, too, this holiday special and Volume 3, this is the last time we will probably see these actors playing these characters.
Yes.
They have all kind of, their contracts are up. James Gunn, of course, now is with DC.
Yep.
So you won't be seeing him working with Marvel anymore.
Right.
So I think it's pretty safe to say this is the end of the Guardians trilogy, definitely the end of the trilogy, and arguably... end of seeing these characters anymore. Maybe you see a Groot or a Raccoon, Rocket.
Yeah.
Here or there because they're voice acted.
Yep.
But I don't think we'll be seeing Drax or Star-Lord or any of these again. And really cool with the holiday special because I just watched it just to watch it.
Yep.
I didn't know that I was going to get some origin stuff.
Yeah.
Or some reveals.
Yep.
And I think that's as much a reason to watch it as it's just a fun, it really got
it
me.
It actually got me
you know, in the spirit a little bit.
45 minutes long. It's not even that long. It doesn't take that much time to watch. It's a lot of fun. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, can I interest you in your money, Seth, in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania coming out in February?
Yes, just take it now. I don't even know why I just keep my money. I should just give it to Disney. Again, Ant-Man and Wasp, underrated group. Yeah. I love the fact that Ant-Man has become so big, and I give a lot of credit to Paul Rudd.
Absolutely.
Who is the... can we just give him the most lovable person on the planet now?
Yeah, I think
I have heard this from other actors, from people who know him. He's like that in real life.
Yeah.
He's just a nice guy.
Paul Rudd is a great actor. He's mm-hmm. not good enough to fake that.
He's not good enough to fake that.
See is what you get.
Yeah.
The thing that Marvel got right so hardcore is whether you like a script or not, whether you like a movie or not, that's one thing. But very few people, there's been a casting and, I don't like that.
Oh.
Right? Almost everybody universally is like, oh my gosh, I didn't think of him as that part, but great job.
Perfect.
Paul Rudd is maybe the shining example of this.
Yes.
Where who's seeing Paul Rudd as an action star? Like, nobody. Paul Rudd isn't seeing himself that way. They had to ask him to audition for this.
Yeah.
He does, kills it, and now Ant-Man is as big as he is, and I think mm-hmm. that it's as much a credit, like you said, to Paul and his talent as much as the casting agencies at Marvel.
I agree. I'm going to geek out for a minute, warning everybody. So we've got Quantumania coming up. I think we're going to be seeing the beginning of the Young Avengers. They have been slowly collecting
the new
ones. You've got Kate Bishop out there as the new Hawkeye. We've got his daughter Cassie Lang, who also becomes in the comics a superhero. We've got Wanda's twins that do become superheroes.
Yes.
So keep an eye out for them. But also the biggest selling of this for me, Kang.
Oh.
Kang is coming. Jonathan Majors.
Yeah.
Bishop, I don't know what I'm calling that one. Jonathan Majors we've just had a little bit of taste of him as the He Who Remains in the Loki series. I am so looking forward to him putting on the actual Kang outfit. I'm just so excited.
Also to mention, Bill Murray is going to be in this.
That's right.
No word on who he's playing necessarily, but he's in. Of course, returning actors: Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Come on, what a cast, man!
Yeah, Catherine Newton, of course, playing Ant-Man's daughter Cassie, is a Seth reference there. I'm so glad you brought up Jonathan Majors. He's having the time right now, and thank God he is, because he deserves it. He's worked really hard for this, and he's so darn good.
Yes,
and his performance as Kang, to what we've seen already, is already really cool. Let alone, for those that don't know, Kang, like, you're going to get multiple versions of Kang, and he's going to be playing all of them. So he's going to, the way we saw Kang in Loki is probably going to be different than the Kang we see in Ant-Man.
Yep.
Which is cool too. Like,
which is awesome.
It looks really good. It's also setting up so much.
Oh, and that was the thing. But thank you, because I was going to get right there. This is going to be super important, because we know that Kang is going to be one of the main things of the next Avengers movie. So keep that in mind, everybody. They're going to be setting up a lot of stuff with this. Up next, I believe, what is it, on Disney Plus, Secret Invasion is up next?
Yeah, yeah. Spring of 2023, they're saying.
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson is Nick Fury.
Yeah.
That's all, you know.
this Phase 4 ending event will also star Emily Clarke from Game of Thrones, Olivia Colman from The Lost Order, and this guy, Ben Kingsley, I think his name is. I'm sorry, Sir Ben Kingsley, one of the greatest actors of all time.
I'm sorry, I saw his name in that, and he's going to be playing Trevor again. Oh, Trevor Slattery. I'm glad they brought him back.
God, I'm so
happy
they brought
him back. He does such a good job with it. He's totally making fun of actors, and he knows exactly what he's doing, and he does it so good.
He's just one of the greats,
he's
you know?
He's one of the greats.
Emily Clarke, nothing to shy away from, actress herself. And, of course, like you said, Samuel Jackson, getting to lead a Marvel show.
Which is even better, because he's usually, you know, one of the side people.
Yeah.
He gets to lead it, finally. Not that he hasn't made a huge living off of it.
Right.
But he's the comic guy. We all know how much he loves comic books.
Well, so. And for those, just to catch everybody up, Nick Fury has been in space ever since his end credit tease at the end of Spider-Man Far Away from Home.
That's right.
Spoiler alert. Sorry if that's spoiling anything. But it has been out for a while. Yeah. So what's been going on? Where has he been? Mm-hmm. You're going to get a very different Nick Fury, according to Samuel Jackson.
Yes, which is great. And it's good for him, too, so he can kind of freshen it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming out.
The last of Seth's money will be spent on Guardians Galaxy.
I'll be in the poorhouse.
May 5th, that is going to be coming out. This is tough to wrap up a trilogy.
It is.
And how you do it like this. Now, certainly there are different things you can bring in that are going to bring people in. Gamora and her storyline is certainly important. They discover a golden crypt, most likely holding the body of Adam Warlock, being played by Will Porter, who is a great actor.
Sorry. I'm so excited. Adam Warlock. Again, comic geek here. I can't help it. One of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe. We're finally get to see Adam Warlock. Oh, my God. I cannot wait.
Will Poulter's a great actor.
Yes.
He really buffed up for this, too.
Well, he's supposed to be the perfect being. So you kind of got to look the part, right? So he can pull it off. I think he'll be just fine.
That looks fantastic. That looks really, really good. And it looks like they really do wrap everything up, too.
Which is great. Now, I just want to say, as we wrap up the segment, that doesn't mean that the Guardians themselves will be gone. There might be a new team coming up. There have been several iterations of the Guardians throughout Marvel Comics history, so we might be seeing a few come back. Maybe Adam Warlock will lead the new team. Who knows what'll be happening? I'm sure if we could look into the mind of Kevin Feige, first of all, we'd be blown away because it's crazy. Yeah. Actually, I don't want to look in because I don't want to know what happens. I'm excited, but I want to save it. I want to save it for that. So
we saved that, but we haven't saved our money.
No, the money is gone. They have taken all our money. That means we're done with this segment, everybody. Stay tuned. We have got a very cool radio production, audio production coming up here to wrap up the show. So don't go anywhere here on Director's Cut. Welcome back, everyone, to Director's Cut. James and Seth with you here, and we're just going to do a quick introduction to the audio production you're going to be hearing in just moments away. This is actually something we did quite a while ago, but we never found a good time or place to put it anywhere.
Yeah.
We knew we were going to use it for something, and then when this came around, when we got the okay to do Director's Cut, we're like, perfect.
Yes.
This is the perfect place to showcase this. Hopefully this is the first of a few.
Oh, yeah.
We are very excited to do this. Shout out to Melissa Kay, who was kind of the mastermind. She picked the show.
Yeah.
James and I played some parts in it, but this is her. She put all the production, the music, sound effects into it. She did a lot of work, and I'm so glad we're finally going to be able to do this.
This is for fun. It's a silly little thing that we did. Don't, you know, dissect it too heavily. But I do want to give credit to you and Melissa for especially what Melissa did, where she took it seriously. Even though we were trying to have fun with it, she took it to heart, worked really hard on the production, and putting up with Seth and I even longer than she normally has to.
Exactly. Which is a chore, ladies and gentlemen.
Really
that is very much a chore. So what the show is called ArtNet, for those of you who remember the old TV show and radio show Dragnet. Of course, Jack Webb playing Joe Friday, and of course, famous for his kind of monotone narration.
Just
and all
the facts,
that.
Ma'am.
Just the facts, ma'am. And so I get to play that character. I'm really excited because that's a show I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so I've listened to a few of the old radio shows, and I think we got a good, but I got to give James a shout out here. He plays a bunch of the characters in it, and oh, man. You did a great. It's funny. I was listening to you just a little bit before we were doing this, and it was I was laughing out loud because it'd been so long since we've done it. I forgot about, you know, all the jokes and stuff in it.
So. I'm looking forward to listening to it as a fan.
Exactly.
I don't remember so much of it. So yeah.
So hopefully this will just be the start.
Yes.
James and I and Melissa are all looking to, and we're going to want to bring other people in on this. We know lots of actors that we were like, hey. Don't have time to do a show at WRCT? Come and have some fun with us.
We like to remind everybody that we're taking recommendations. If there's music, a book, a movie you want us to review or talk about, please let us know. And that goes for as well as if there's a play you'd like us to do, or if there's you'd like to be a part of, please let us know.
Yes, because we'd love to do it. For me, it's a passion. I love audio drama of any kind. This is something, a lifelong love of for me. So I certainly want to keep doing this. So and we also want to let us know how you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, give us some feedback. We would love to know if it's something you want to hear more of, because we can certainly do that.
This will take us to the end of the hour and wrap up this session for us.
Yep.
So the credits are rolling. The band is playing. It is time for us to wrap up the show.
It is indeed. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be the wrap up of this show, session number 5 for Director's Cut. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We'll see you again next week. And have a good one out there, everyone.
The story you're about to hear is true. Only the colors have been changed to protect the artists.
This is the art world. My name is Frida, Joe Frida. I carry a brush. 3:45 a.m. I was at Hopper's Nighthawks Diner investigating a 419, illegal implication of despair and gloom on a perfectly nice evening. That's when the call came in. A 232, missing artist model. I headed straight for the station. Morning, Chief.
Joe, I didn't realize you were done with your narration.
I was at 1247 Vincent on a 419 at 3:47 when I got the 232. I did a 180 and 1060'd back here on the double.
Why is it I always need a calculator to talk to you?
What's this about an artist model?
Well, it's a guy named Da Vinci. He had a date with some girl to paint a picture, and she never showed. He's concerned.
Thinks he might have been kidnapped?
Worse.
Murdered?
Worse. He thinks she's modeling for someone else.
What's the girl's name?
Lisa. Mona Lisa.
Men have named her?
Yeah, she's so like the lady with the mystic smile.
Is it only because she's lonely that they blame her for the strangeness in her smile?
That I can't really tell you, Joe.
Any distinguishing characteristics?
Just a mout. She never stops smiling.
8:22 a.m. I headed out. Thought I'd canvass the neighborhood. I was driving and thinking. Thinking and driving. Thinking. 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 Forgot about driving. Almost plowed into a little nun taking a group of orphans to the museum. She tells me her name is Sister Wendy. I arrest them on a 309, jaywalking. As I filled out the paperwork, I noticed a young man painting in the park across the street. He looked suspicious. I gave the nun the brush off, told her to get her own PBS show, and hightail it over to the suspect. Morning, sir. Mind if I ask what you're doing with the easel and paints?
Merci, mon endroit.
I don't speak French. Is that yes or no?
I keep trying to paint these stupid toads and frogs, but they keep leaping all over the stupid pond.
Just frogs and toads you're trying to paint? No young women?
Did you see any young women? I would kill for a human model. Then I could tell them to sit still. Look at this toad.
No, thank you. What's your name, sir?
Claude Monet. The big frog painting failure, Monet.
Here's my card. If you see a woman modeling around here, always smiling, call me immediately.
But how am I supposed to capture the way the light plays over the slimy skin of these toads when they keep moving?
Try the lily pads.
What?
The water lilies. They hold still. Paint the water lilies.
Mon Dieu! Brilliance!
I think you'll make a great impression. 9:36 a.m. I drove on. I'd heard of a new guy in town. Crazy man. But crazy enough to steal another artist's model? I had to find out.
Yes?
Mr. Dolly?
Yes.
Joe Frieda, Art Squad. May I come in? 9:37 a.m. I entered the suspect studio.
Who is it that you are talking to?
9:38 a.m. I realized I'm narrating out loud again.
That's a nice watch you keep looking at.
9:39 a.m. I take off my watch, set it down, and begin questioning. I'm looking for a female model named Lisa. Have you seen her?
Seen? Felt? It is a crime merely to lobster. Ant.
I'm just after the fact, sir.
The egg cracks the world within.
Just the facts.
From one woman springs a mountain.
The facts.
Facts, schmacks. The dogs are howling.
If you don't stick to the facts, I'll have to take you in a 106.
What is that?
Inordinate surrealism.
I don't use models. Who needs models when you have dreams?
Some people have dreams of models.
Some people are the models of dreams.
Some models are dream people.
Some dreams model people.
I think I have to leave. My head is about to explode.
Ooh, what? Your watch.
My watch is a Timex. It doesn't explode. Takes a licking.
Your watch is melting.
I repeat, my watch is a Timex. It doesn't melt.
This one does. Look.
Oh, dear.
You set it on the radiator, and it is melting. Look at it oozing down the side of the metal like time itself slipping into the past and future simultaneously.
That's a Timex. It's not supposed to happen.
It is the most glorious thing I have ever seen. I must paint it immediately.
I'll get a bucket first. Note to self, call Timex with new slogan. Takes a warming and starts deforming. 11:45 a.m. Approximately. I no longer have any idea what time it is. I left Dolly's place, headed to the studio of the other new guy in town, someone who might not know it's not kosher to steal another artist's models.
Hey.
Mr. Warhol, Joe Frieda, Art Squad. Do you mind if I take a look around your studio?
In the future, every studio will be investigated for 15 minutes.
It won't take that long. I'm looking for a model named Lisa.
What an omniscient name. In the future, everyone will be named Lisa for 15 minutes.
Right. Hope you don't mind if I eat and search. I brought my lunch.
In the future, everyone will eat lunch for like 15 minutes.
I don't think you've got any models here.
Why?
I don't think any woman could stand to be in the same room with you for 15 minutes.
I know a woman named Marilyn and one named Jackie.
Lisa. I'm looking for Lisa. What?
Your lunch.
Campbell's tomato soup. I eat it right out of the can. More efficient. Good.
Can I have it?
No, it's my soup. Supposed to mix it with a cup of water, but I like mine thick.
No, to paint. Paint the can, man. Can I have the can, man? Can I?
You can have the can, man. I think I'm beginning to see why some people hate modern art.
In the future, everyone will hate modern art
for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I know. Can we just cue the music, please? 12:15 p.m., give or take. I'd lost my lunch. I'd lost my watch. I was losing my mind. I'd painted myself into a corner. I couldn't take any more modernism. I had to find someone who still used models. As I climbed the long set of stairs to the studio, I knew I had to find someone with stability. Someone who played by the rules.
Hello.
Mr. Picasso?
Yes.
Joe Frieda, Art Squad. Sorry to interrupt you. Are you still in your blue period?
Rose. It's all rose now.
I'm seeing red myself. Mind if I come in? It's been a long climb up the stairs.
Actually, I'm a little busy.
What was that?
Nothing.
Pablo, oui.
Do you have a model in here?
Oh. No, no model here. Fruit. Bowls of fruit and cow skulls. Nothing more.
Am I the fruit or the cow skull?
Hello, ma'am. Joe Frieda, ma'am. Are you posing for this man?
She's not posing. She's posturing.
You said it was a sitting.
Are you Mona Lisa, ma'am?
Who's asking?
Joe Frieda, Art Squad. I thought I made that clear in my introduction.
Well, I'm Mona Lisa. Pleased to meet ya.
Why are you smiling, ma'am?
No reason.
You must have a reason, ma'am.
It's a secret reason.
You can tell me, ma'am. I'm a police detective, ma'am.
I can't tell you. It's a secret.
I share all my thoughts, complete with the times I think them. Ask anyone.
Well, that's fine for you, but nobody's ever going to know why I'm smiling.
Fine. You're both coming in for questioning.
What?
A 682 and 593. Theft of another artist's model and refusal to share an inner monologue.
No, I've been framed.
Don't worry. It's not a hanging offense. Step away from the easel and nobody gets hurt.
I can explain.
You can't color the case now, Mr. Picasso. There's no tinting the evidence.
But I...
Down the stairs, both of you.
Quit pushing!
This is all a mistake.
Watch the stairs! Watch the stairs!
Uh-oh.
Mona, are you all right?
Oh, my head feels funny.
Oh, my God.
You said it, Pablo. Ma'am, you're a mess.
No, she's beautiful. Back to my easel, quickly, quickly.
I think I must have broke something.
She's in no condition.
I must paint her now.
Her nose is all smushed over, and her eyes are clumped over to one side of her head. Her hands are misshapen blobs.
She's perfect.
She needs medical attention.
No. If Pablo wants to paint me this way, it'd be an honor.
1:45-ish. I left Picasso and Lisa to their session. This had been a heck of a day, but I had one last stop to make.
Yes?
Mr. Da Vinci?
You must be the police. Where is my girl? Where is my Mona?
That's what I came to see you about. Mona's not coming back. At least not with any realism.
You don't mean?
I'm afraid so. She's gone abstract.
No. What am I gonna do now? This was to be my greatest painting.
It still can be. Buck up, sir. I'm sure you'll smile again.
What, like this?
What's so funny?
Nothing. I'm just trying to smile.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking about trying to smile.
Have you ever seen your smile?
No, not really.
Look in this mirror. You have quite the mysterious smile.
I do, don't I?
You ever consider a self-portrait?
But I'm supposed to paint a woman.
Like I said, you ever considered a self-portrait?
Do you really think I could?
Don't ask, don't tell, sir.
If you'll excuse me, I have a masterpiece to create.
2:37 p.m. by the bank clock. I went back to the office and filled out the paperwork. Not yet. I didn't get my man or woman, but Monet, Dali, Picasso, and Da Vinci got their paintings. Pretty good day overall. Not yet. If I was going to wrap up the art world today, I'd say, now that it's all over, oil's well that ends well. Now.
You have been listening to ArtNet, a radio stage play written by Eric Cobble. Produced and performed by Melissa Kay, Seth Habhager, Tim Young, and James Maloff.